I'm Josh Scherer.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons here at Fenway Park, Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, where we are brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and the Ford Summer Sales Event. Hurry in to get great deals now, including on F-Series, official truck of the Red Sox. I always say, we don't forget that because there's a nice Ford F-Series truck right outside.
Is it out there?
Yeah. And it actually catches my attention. They rotate them through. They'll be like,
like
a different
that.
Color, different model, different style, different fancy tailgate because that's the closest thing.
I need
thing
to get myself a Ford.
You're a truck man.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking about maybe a Bronco.
Yeah, it'd be better for you.
Yeah.
You should. I like Broncos.
Yeah.
My neighbor's got a Bronco. It seems nice.
You got like the nice little compact one, or you got like the bigger one?
A little sportier, a little wider, and it but went old school.
Uh-huh.
Manual shift.
Nice
to, like,
choice.
Special order it or whatever, but got
nice
a manual
choice.
Bronco. I like them apples.
I do.
Do you even know how to drive manual? Are you man enough for manual?
Yeah, I learned what my old babysitter taught me when I was 19 in a parking lot.
There's a lot to that you should say for your therapist and not for your
radio
co-host.
No, it was not therapist-based, believe me.
I'm very worried about you with what you're saying.
Me too. It's 5 o'clock. It's time for The Drive.
This is The Drive.
Swings and drives one. High and deep. Into left field. Gone!
The top stories, stats, and quotes from around the sports world for your ride home. WEEI Afternoons.
So we are appropriately at Fenway Park today because the news of the day in Boston sports is Red Sox related. Not necessarily good. If you watched the game last night, it was a good, the bad, and ugly game, I like to say.
What was the good?
You won!
Hey!
Come back! Scored 11 runs, even though you struck out 11 times. I like it.
Sneaky good. Didn't have to use Aroldis Chapman for the third straight day last night.
That is true. That is a good thing. The bad is, you lost Roman Anthony to a muscle injury, oblique. As soon as they said it, he left, and then I think two innings later, the Red Sox made an announcement. He left with an oblique injury. Will Middlebrooks on cue. Oh, that's what you didn't want to hear.
Nah.
An oblique injury for a baseball player, a hitter, is like, no, we don't want something else. Tell me something else. Unfortunately, that's what it was. So we had the manager, Alex Cora, in studio here at Fenway today, and obviously we had to ask him immediately if there was any update, and unfortunately he had an update on Roman Anthony. I don't even have pleasantries today. We got the news of the day. I got to ask you about Roman Anthony, what we saw last night. Do you have an update on Roman Anthony's status? Is he going on IL?
Yeah, he's going to IL. He has an oblique strain. Timetable, we don't know. He's a mother one, so usually takes from 4 to 6 weeks.
What's he going to mean to not be in your lineup anymore?
He's one of our best offensive players, but it sounds harsh, but we have to move on, right? We've got to put that uniform on today and try to win a game. And we've been through this before, right? Casas and, you know, we traded Rafi. You know, there's been a lot of stuff with this team, and we've been able to keep going. So I expect the group to do the same thing.
He is right. By the way, they've lost three top four hitters now during the course of the season. You lose Casas, you trade Devers, and you lose Anthony during the course of the season.
I mean,
that's pretty good in terms of where they were lined up in the lineup.
Yes, absolutely. They've taken their hits. I also, just real quick reaction that I missed the first time. He pulled what I like to call a Mayo there. Timetable, we don't know, but it's moderate, so 4 to 6 weeks. You just said you didn't know the timetable, and then you threw 4 to 6.
I think they gave him a general one to float out there for safety's sake, because if he says 2 and then it goes on longer, then the online din and the harumph harumph and the why isn't he back yet begins. And that's something he doesn't need dogging him.
But he gave a time table. So immediately we did the, 4 weeks is this. Oh, that's game two of the wild card series. Mm-hmm. Oh, 6 weeks is the ALDS or whatever.
ALCS.
ALCS, sorry. Before the D. C comes before the D. And we do that immediately. So you're right. If he's back in 2 weeks, that's great. Oh, he's a fast healer. He's ahead of schedule. We played that game with Bregman for a while. Remember Bregman was like, ahead of schedule, then he wasn't ahead of schedule.
Yeah.
4th of July, not
after the All-Star break before the All-Star break.
Like,
yeah.
There was a whole thing there. But this is there's no other way to put this. This is a massive blow to the lineup, to the team, to the energy, to the vibes, to the chances of overtaking the Blue Jays in the East, the chances of securing the number one wild card. I believe right now you're 2.5 games back of the Blue Jays tied with the Yankees. Boom.
4.5 over the Seattle Mariners, though, with less than 30 games to play. That's feeling pretty good.
It feels less good right now than it did before the game started last night. Last night, I went into that game with great optimism because things have been going pretty well for this baseball team. There's been blips. You didn't play as well as I would have liked against the Pirates. I don't know that you want to lose a series against the Pirates, but Peyton Tolley arrives. He looks special. Like, Fitzy, you're talking about Tolley. Oh, he could do this in the postseason, that. They've had some nice runs here. They've had the run of the starters, Crochet aside, but Crochet, Bayo, Giolito. Like, you had reason to believe. Hey, if you're an optimist, you might even believe Bregman's getting his slump out of the way now so he doesn't have a slump late in September and heading into the postseason. This, though, this is a big deal. Like, this guy quickly, even Ted Johnson, earlier in the show, admitted that Roman Anthony, at the very least, is the inspiration for some of the success that has gone on. And Dan Ball, you're laughing, but that was an admission from him that Roman Anthony was kind of leading the way for this baseball
team. Yeah, no question. And his manager has said very similar things, where the veterans gravitate to he and Roman Anthony and Marcelo Meyer versus the other way around, that you see 99 times out of 100. And I think it's proof positive, Fitzy, that Anthony was just a different was. I'm talking like he's dead. Like, he still is, but it's going to be about a month before we see it again. He's built different from almost any other rookie I've ever seen, which gave me such hope for what he could be at the top of the lineup in October, because most rookies, I feel like, would be a bit intimidated by the stage that they'd be on. But a healthy and productive Roman Anthony in October is still something I'm hoping we can see. But again, that just makes things a whole lot harder heading towards October.
Even if he didn't carry the team the way that he has since he got called up, and the win total has gone above 60% for the team. Hey, it was OPS and the first and on base percentage, and obviously with batting average since he got called up full time, which obviously coincided with Rafael Devers getting dealt away. The best case scenario for the Roman Anthony, you're going to get, you wanted him to come up, and even if he didn't thrive, hey, you've been dipped in the river postseason, you got some playoff experience. The best you're going to probably hope for now is one that can come back and contribute at 75% of what he was giving you, because even if he does come back just before 4 weeks, like, oh my God, Roman Anthony's back for the playoffs, he can't be 100% unless he gets a giant needle full of high-level narcotics jammed right into that side.
But even that, I think it's irrelevant of the injury. Like, his timing is not going to be right. He's not going to be in mid-season
form. He can't swing. Tristan Casas last year, like, sneezed and was out for, like, 4 or 5 months.
But one player is an elite player and one isn't.
You know what I mean? Like, these weird things, an oblique, a rib,
something.
No, but
I'm saying, like, I believe that Anthony is special. So do I believe he can come back quicker and better maybe than almost anybody else? Yeah, because I think he's maybe the best hitter on the Red Sox. But is he going to be as good as Roman Anthony could be if he never got hurt, if he was playing straight through September? No, he's going to be less than what he could have been. And I don't see any way around if he even gets back.
Right.
Like, the first thing is, can he get back? The second is, can he get back and be productive? Because even though it will be, for lack of a better word, inflating for him to be in the lineup, say, game two, wild card series. Oh, Roman Anthony's back. If he strikes out on three pitches and looks like his timing is off, and that's kind of deflating. It's like, oh, we got excited that he's back, and then we realize he's not really back. That
right.
Number 19 is...
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich
free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
in the box, yeah. But it's not the guy that left a month ago. I almost think that can, in a way, be worse than the fill-in, Eaton, Sogard, whoever the hell could be in the lineup. So I think this is a huge blow to their chances.
There's an interesting opportunity that comes. I'll call it a positive, even though this is still a drastic negative. I think even if he does come back, if we're talking about a guy at 75%, he's going to be your DH. So for the rest of the season, you should be able to have Seydon Rafaela back in center field every day. It should be Duran, Rafaela, and Abreu. And as we've seen, he's been a much better hitter when he's been playing center field versus second base. So maybe a small positive could come out of that. But again, it's such an overwhelming negative that that's you know, looking for scraps.
And your positive included Abreu, who is struggling to come back from his own soft tissue.
Yeah. He's 2.5 weeks into his, what, quad calf?
Calf, and he can't run, and Cora said, he told us earlier, he can do pretty much everything else. He can go out there and field a little bit, he can hit a little bit, but when he goes to run, that's the problem, and you kind of need to be able to run if you're an outfielder and a batter, and you know, you want to hit one in the gap and maybe turn it into a double kind of thing. So the injuries are piling up a little bit in the outfield. This is the one thing we make fun of Breslow. Good thing he didn't trade any of the outfielders at the trade deadline, because if you had traded Jarren Duran, and you didn't have Jarren Duran, and then you didn't have Willy Abreu, and then you didn't have Roman Anthony, you would be getting very thin. It'd be Rafaela, the password.
Yeah, and Rob Refsnyder, Nate.
Rotation of guys in the other position.
Yeah, pretty thin.
The other issue last night, the I guess we'll call it the ugly, came from Garrett Crochet, who was cruising right along until he wasn't. And then Garrett Crochet gave up career highs for runs, home runs. Even though he surpassed, took over the lead for both innings and strikeouts, in the start, it was not his best stuff, and we asked Alex Cora about it.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of pitches in the middle of the plate, and they put good swings on it, you know, and that's going to happen. It happens to Scooble, it happens to him, and it happens to DeGrom, you know. They're human. The cool thing about it is yesterday, you know, he's been picking us up the whole season. We picked him up yesterday, and you know, he'll be ready. I think his next one is in Sacramento, if I'm not mistaken. But he's healthy. The stuff was good. He just made 4 mistakes, and they took advantage of it.
You can't just make 4 mistakes.
No.
Sorry. You can leave one over the plate during the game. Like, maybe there'll be a second. Maybe there was an early one and a later one. 4 mistakes? It sounds like Cora's covering too much for him there.
Well, it almost reminded me of what I mockingly said about Belichick's Tar Heels on Monday. If you take away the 2 big plays allowed on defense and you take away the 2 big turnovers that were scores for the opposition on offense, it was a totally different football.
Yeah, it's Cora.
They were in that.
It's Cora doing his best Peter Schrager impression. The 4 interceptions, we can throw those out. Oh, the 4 bad pitches, we can throw those out.
No, you can't.
No.
And that's why he's your ace, and that's why, and I get it. Everyone's human. And he's right. Scooble's had these. Skeens, you guys hit a little bit the other night. Not enough, but a little bit. You know, this happens, but I just, when you put it in conjunction with the last little scuffle start, and then now everybody's running with the numbers of him on 4 days rest, him on 5 days rest. We also had the flat out concerns with just, he's in uncharted territory in terms of he's an ace that isn't going to be monitored down the stretch, is going to be leaned on to try to go win a division, to try to go secure the number one wild card spot. I don't know how you can feel great about Crochet right now. We need a Crochet great outing to kind of rebuild the faith we had built up in him.
And even then, I'd like to see a couple in a row. I'd really like to see these kinks worked out going into October, because I can't go with 2 of my top 3 starters being Crochet and Giolito, where I kind of roll the dice and go, oh, which Crochet am I getting today? Am I getting the 4
emoji,
the 4 bad pitches, or am I getting the Cy Young candidate? And then same with Giolito. As great as he has been from a season-long perspective, he's alternated good and bad starts the last 6,
yeah.
7 or 8. So I'd like to get a little bit more consistency in knowing what I'm going to get from my pig heading into October.
Yeah, Bayo wasn't great last week either. Giolito was really good. And you don't have a 4th starter go. You have a 4th starter until the playoffs, and then he's going to be moved to the bullpen to take over for the fact that you only basically have 1 or 2 guys you can depend on as 5, 6, 7 guys. 8, 9 you have on lock, and I think you have the best in the entirety of the American League. But Peyton Tolley is going to have to take over for the 5, 6, 7 of the postseason, but you do have a couple starts left. I just wish Alex Cora would bring up Kyle Harrison and show the team, show us, show everyone what you have at this point.
is that weird? I asked him about Kyle Harrison, and he was like, well, we got a day off and a bullpen and this and that, and it can cover it and this. And
I bet you he plays. I bet you he pitches
like
this
something
weekend.
Weird going on there. If I was odd. Still doing sniff tests, that
he
one
was
doesn't
in a,
pass.
He was supposedly coming up yesterday.
He was supposedly coming up last week.
He came off.
Remember, the original reports weren't Toley. It was Harrison.
Right.
He's going to start last Friday night. And we didn't want that. We were actually mad at Tim Healy.
Yeah.
The Globe, because he was the wet blanket. We were talking Toley. And he's like, well, actually, it's going to be Harrison. It wasn't. It still isn't. That seems weird to me. And I know there is this little report that he has an ankle thing. I saw that bouncing around a little bit. But
I didn't necessarily see secondary verification.
No,
and
Cora didn't verify that.
Right.
I was trying to give him the opportunity to say something like, you know, we still like him, but he's dealing with a minor thing.
I think you even led the witness. Is there something going on? And he was like, it's nothing like that.
But we know he is sports lies occasionally to us in our interviews. So
yeah.
He needs to say what's in the best interest of the Red Sox, not our station.
He traveled to Boston, was here yesterday, reading a little bit more this morning, stayed over in Boston, and then was now spotted back in Worcester today. So it was a 24-hour round trip up the pike.
For
Nathan. Nothing. Not a darn thing.
Yeah, that's weird. Something's a little weird to me there.
Yeah. And to your point, Fitzy, why not? You've won the series. We've seen them do stranger things once they know they've already won 1-2 out of 3.
Dustin May's pitching 3 innings if he needs to tonight. Then he starts again next week. You know what you have in Dustin May. Kyle Harrison can't be much more inconsistent, unpredictable, or intermittently bad as Dustin May has been. I don't get paid to manage the baseball team. I would take that chance as well. I can't wait to watch the next Toley start. That's probably the closest thing you have right now. Now that Roman Anthony's out and Crochet is off his mark, the best thing you have going forward for these final 25 games is you're going to want to see every Toley start.
Yeah, unless he's not good, unless he's crapping himself out there and it's kind of part.
Now, why is he going to crap himself?
He's a young pitcher and it tends to happen.
Okay, well, I mean, am I allowed to effing watch him? I mean,
yeah, you should watch him.
He started last Friday. He was good.
Yep.
So I'm looking forward to the next one.
Right. And you assume they will all be like the last.
No, but I'm a bit, put it this way. What I saw led me to want to invest big in him the rest of the way.
Sure.
Like you have a plus arm right now. Jordan Hicks can throw 100 miles an hour.
He's got a plus arm.
But he might, and it might be plus it bounced off the person on, near the backstop.
Yes.
Peyton Toley looks really good thus far.
Roman Anthony was hitting in the 100s the first couple weeks, but I wasn't any less motivated to watch him in the lineup every single.
There's a now similarity between they looked like they belonged. Regardless of the result, they looked like they belonged, and this wasn't too big for him. The stuff was there. The anti-Christian Campbell. I never thought he looked like he belonged, and they haven't asked him to belong since. And
They had two extra roster spots to have him belong, and they still said
no. And he just said, like, there's still more that he needs to work on down there. So
which is true.
Believe he doesn't belong. But, it's going to be interesting with Crochet and his next start, and hopefully he's well-rested and goes out there, and the velocity's up, and the fastballs are used, and he pitches like the guy that we need him to be down the stretch. Speaking of Peyton Toley, his debut on Friday night, I would say, was electric. He was a sweaty mess, but he was kicking butt out there, keeping up pitch for pitch with Paul Skeens until he left, and his bullpen let him down, and they lost the game.
They brought in the wrong guy, because Weissert is, like, Weissert allows almost all inherited runners to score.
I used to like Weissert. He is off my list. He's no longer one of my guys. But we asked the manager, Alex Cora, about Peyton Toley, his debut, and what he brings to this team.
Man, he showed up at the ballpark like around 1:30.
Was he sweaty then? Because he was sweaty on the mound.
No. But in the clubhouse, I got a message from Chad Tracy, our AAA manager. Like, he's a guy that I played with Kevin Brown. Remember Kevin Brown?
Yep.
So Kevin Brown, 4 days he was a great teammate. The fifth day he was, he wasn't great, you needed to stay away from him, don't talk to him, locked in. That's the total opposite of Toley. He's a great guy, great sense of humor. He was very relaxed through the day. At one point, we were talking about a rain delay. It didn't happen, He came to the office like, hey, are we on time? I'm like, yeah, let's go. And he went out there like a 6:10 to just take a look at everything. One of the things I tell these kids, embrace this. Like, there's only one your one MLB debut, right? And you have to take advantage of it and just enjoy it. And he did, man. Like, that first inning was electric. I think the fans understood how important it was, not only for him, but for the organization, you know, what this kid represents. And, you know, the stuff was great. Obviously, you know, we got to be careful, you know, with the pitch count. I think the next one will be in the range of 85 to 90. You know, when he went out in the sixth, I thought about it. I'm like, man, we're pushing him. But he was so efficient that we got to go, you know, and just didn't happen. So, just paying attention to the innings, paying attention to the pitch count. Velocity went down a little bit, but nothing too big, right? And there's a presence. 6'5", 250 on that mound. You know, we got the beast, you know, and now we got that other beast, you know, and we're very happy with the performance.
I thought we were going to get that nickname I wanted there because he's a guy that needs a nickname, Peyton Tolle.
Yeah.
Like just the whole persona, the look, the mustache, the Magnum P.I.G., according to Jones and Keefe, whatever you want to call it, he needs a nickname. I also laughed. Last night's game, I think it was, they showed him and Tristan Casas talking in the dugout.
Oh, boy. Like, what do you think that conversation sounded like?
I was thinking just like that cliche of a fly on the wall. How about a fly in the dugout right there? Yeah. Just to where – all I envisioned was Wally and the cloud commercial for Mass Mutual where it's like, I wanted to do this. And like Tristan Casas, nope, stay away from him.
Little totally idiosyncrasy I saw that I really loved. So in that walk around the park or walk through the outfield that he was talking about,
yep.
He did the sign language sign for I love you up to the sky because his mother unfortunately passed away.
Yep.
He did the same thing when he was walking off the mound. When they removed him and everybody gave the standing ovation, he gave the same sign language. I don't know it offhand, but a cool little extra thing to watch out for with him. And you could tell he was showing his gratitude right off the bat. So I loved pretty much every single thing that we saw from him on Friday.
What's his next start? Friday in Arizona?
Yes. Yeah.
That's a good spot for him. That's not a dynamic lineup. That's going to be, I mean, I'm not saying that that's like Red Sox Nation West, but like that's a good spot for him. Second start, road start. He performed very well in the Fenway home start. Now he gets to go on the road against a lackluster lineup. Cora did say he's going to get what 85, 90 pitches.
Yeah, he's going to be a like
six innings tops.
Yeah, he's probably going to be a five inning pitcher for this baseball team.
You could go
whatever.
Five against the.
That's
Diamondbacks.
Fine. That's fine. I'm fine with that, and I agree with you, Dan. He has it. He's special. Like he's a superstar in the making. I tweeted that out and people were like, "Hi, you're positive, whatever." Yeah. No, like when I see something that's obviously great, I acknowledge the greatness. It's the other things that people try to fluff up as being great that I kind of push back on. But I'm excited to see where he goes. The one thing that stuck out to me, Cora said there, is fans realize how much he means to the organization or what he represents to the organization. I think I could take that a couple different ways. The developmental side, they developed a pitcher, they brought him up, or we didn't trade this guy for Joe Ryan, and he represents your Joe Ryan that you wanted. This is the other guy. I thought that was really interesting. So that's going to do it for the drive today here on WEEI Afternoons at Fenway Park. Up next, an abbreviated odds and ends. We got another Mass Mutual early pregame 5:45 with Christian Arcan. So we'll wrap things here up at Fenway next. But first, Dan Ball for the final time has what's trending.
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now on WEEI, brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. The Red Sox won their third straight last night, taking the second of three games against the Guardians at Fenway Park. The final score was 11-7. Roman Anthony did exit the game in the fourth inning with what was described at the time as an oblique injury. Red Sox manager Alex Cora then confirmed to WEEI Afternoons today that Anthony is headed to the injured list with an oblique strain. The estimated timetable for recovery and return is 4 to 6 weeks. Meanwhile, the Red Sox go for the sweep tonight. First pitch at 6:45. Brennan Bernardino will serve as the opener for tonight's game, and here is your lineup as Nate Eaton takes over as the leadoff hitter tonight. He's at third with Alex Bregman, your DH. Trevor Story at short, Romy Gonzalez at first. Rob Refsnyder is in right with Jaron Duran in left. Sadon Rafaela in center. Nick Sogard is at second, and Connor Wong is your catcher, and he is batting ninth. You can listen to the game on WEEI FM 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Mass Mutual pregame show with Christian Arcan is tonight at 5:45, and Will Fleming and Sean McDonough have the call of the game. Earlier today, Anthony was named the AL Rookie of the Month for August. He hit 304 in 118 plate appearances during the month. Also, Aroldis Chapman has been named the AL Reliever of the Month in 11 innings. He registered an ERA of 0 and went 8-for-8 in save opportunities. The Patriots open up the 2025 season on Sunday at 1 o'clock against the Raiders. Pats cornerback Christian Gonzalez was the lone player who did not practice today. His status for Sunday's game is still unknown. Also, Mike Reese of ESPN reports an anticipated practice squad transaction for the team in linebacker Darius Harris. Harris has been in the NFL since 2019 with the Chiefs, Raiders, and Cowboys, playing in 37 games with 6 total starts. And finally, Daron Harmon, who won 3 Super Bowls in New England during his tenure from 2013 to 2019, announced his retirement from his professional playing career earlier today. Contractors, builders, and homeowners, visit Jackson Lumber and Millwork for all your residential, remodeling, or commercial building materials and supplies. Jackson Lumber and Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons live at Fenway Park coming up right after this.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
I think I would refer to it as a pain in the ass, you know, and I hate pain in the parts area, but I'm going to say exactly what it really was. Obviously, I don't want to come across as that, and I'm going to say this. I want to be very clear, I'm an adult.
That was Steph Diggs. Press conference. Apologize for the audio. We didn't have anything clearer than that, but Steph Diggs had some interesting comments down at Gillette Stadium today. That's going to be the subject of our odds and ends here on WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by Cars for Kids, your trusted charity for car donations. Also accepts donations of boats, RVs, motorcycles, and real estate. Call today, 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. That's Cars with a K. Little background here before I read you a transcription provided by Doug Kide. Or he has an alternate pronunciation.
That's how you say it?
Yeah. Or Kaid.
It's K-Y-E-D. Kaid.
Kaid. Oh, I thought it was Doug Kaid.
Oh, I could totally see how someone would think it was that way.
Kaid?
Kaid?
Yeah.
Saeed?
If you were reading it, maybe?
Yeah. No, or not.
You had never heard it when it had been mentioned 1,000 times in the...
So, we actually, I believe, played the audio at one point when Phil Perry called Stephon Diggs a little bit of a pain in the posterior, pain in the bum. And there was sort of that point there where we were discussing what Diggs was doing, how the team felt about him, what his reps were, all those things. And today, Stephon Diggs, as I said, his press conference down at Gillette Stadium. So I'm going to read you the transcription from Doug Kide. This is Stephon Diggs. Quote, "Obviously, I haven't talked much in camp. It's nice to see everybody here. Appreciate y'all. Appreciate your patience. I just try to take this time to be focused, get my mind right, get my body right, come into camp with the right mindset physically and mentally. It's always big in camp, so I just needed that time. So I appreciate y'all having patience with me, but I do kind of want to address some things that happened throughout camp. Obviously, I look at the media as a whole, and I kind of approach this thing as professional as possible," Diggs said. "So Phil Perry and Tom Curran, I don't want to mistakenly say the wrong names, but my words, I had some conversations, I had some interviews throughout camp. Some of my words were misconstrued. I don't know if me talking to another individual, I don't know. It was kind of regurgitated in another way or taken out of context. I think I was referred to as a pain in the ass, pain in the posterior, but I'm going to say exactly what it really was. Obviously, I don't want to come across as that. And I'm going to say this. I want to be very clear. I'm an adult. I'll apologize. I'm not up here to ego trip. I'm not up here to rub anybody the wrong way or say anything for clickbait. If I rub anybody wrong, I really want to apologize moving forward. Obviously, we have the media to play a relationship as a professional as I can be. I want to make myself available each and every week. Obviously, don't want to make this thing abrasive. It can be as seamless as possible, and it also can be abrasive." Ooh, felt like a threat. That was just me talking. Sorry. "I don't want to get up here and not answer questions or make anybody feel uncomfortable. I mean, obviously, it's a world we live in. Like, if somebody calls you an a-hole," I cleaned that up, he said the real word, "and then they start acting like one. No, you don't. I won't. That's not me. So I want to apologize if I ever came across as an a-hole, he said the real world, to any real word to anybody. But moving forward, I kind of want to get things off on the right foot. We're going to spend a lot of time together, and I kind of want to give, obviously, a good interview if I'm asked questions. I don't want to give you the vanilla answers or no answer at all. So moving forward, hopefully this relationship can grow and we build on something special. Obviously, it's going to be a long season, so we're going to spend a lot of time together. End quote.
First good thing that's happened in Foxborough since the Rats comment.
So I my first question on this, and I couldn't really take it from the transcription. I wasn't there. I haven't read more on it. Is did he have this conversation with Phil and Tom off the podium first? That's what I would have done. And to me, that's what should have been done. And I think he's fair to ask them to do the same thing. Like, two-way street, if we have problems, maybe can we talk about it before we go either in a press conference or on TV or on a podcast? Other than that, I don't have a problem with much of what he said other than the whole, I mean, you were practicing, so you're supposed to talk to the media. They actually let you get away with it. You're supposed to talk to the media a minimum number of times if you're practicing.
He earned it, supposedly, I would guess, in his mind, by being, what, now a 10-year veteran, a bit of a diva, high-priced free agent, thinking himself a star. But what has he done here yet? Nothing. Right? He came in with a great reputation on field, not the greatest reputation on the sidelines off the field, but he hasn't done anything to earn it here yet. So he shouldn't have been allowed to just not address the media, answer questions at length. He was. Now I think he realizes that the optics on him around here haven't been as great as they are. Look, when I said earlier today in the three-point stance, I thought he would actually show up and have a big game on Sunday and start being a leader on the field. Ted asked, why did you feel that way? And it was just gut history, like because he's been such a dog for almost 10 years in the league. This shows a little maturity. Either that or we're being gamed again by somebody who's way too slick for his own good.
Yeah, I think there's a lot that goes into Stephon Diggs. Good, bad, on field,
he's a total head. I mean, the guy could charm you one way and then kill you another.
100%. And I think there's probably, and this may be unfair, maybe he'll want to talk to me about it. If so, 617-779-7937. Stephon, if you ever want to call the show.
We have tons of a-holes around here.
I think he's a dog and a dog. The good version of the term and the bad version, depending on the situation, where he is on the field, his quarterback, whether he's happy, not happy. But I can tell you some of the negative stuff you're talking about could have been prevented by talking to the media, explaining
simply
things.
Headed off to the past.
Questions. Like, I can tell you, there were members of the organization that were upset when Ted referenced in one of his three-point stances that Stephon Diggs came out late to practice against the Commanders. And they were like, he wasn't late. He was doing what he was supposed to. He was this. He was that. And I'm like, okay. So if he talks to the media, he can explain that. Somebody can be like, hey, Stephon, how come you weren't out with the rest of your teammates when
That was on joint practice day, no less.
Yes.
So that was a high-profile day.
So he could have answered those questions. He chose not to. And when you choose not to provide the proper information, people run with whatever they have, whatever their experiences are. So you, when you leave a vacuum, people fill it. They
Correct.
Fill that area, that void. And that's what some people have done. I wish him nothing but well, because they're a better team if he is the good Stephon Diggs than if he's not the good Stephon Diggs. And we have a more enjoyable job if they're a better football team. Like, that's just the reality of our world.
I don't expect him to be 2020 Steph Diggs with 110 catches, 1,550 yards, and 10 touchdowns. But do I expect somebody to be out there 5, 6, 7 catches, opening lanes for other receivers because he draws top coverage? Damn right I do, for $23 million a year, 9.5 months off an ACL or not.
Yeah, so this is interesting. Now, I don't know.
You think he talked to Phil and Tom?
I would hope so.
Ask Tom. You know what you're going to do? 3:30 tomorrow.
We can ask him tomorrow how that was.
Horizontal tease.
Because I would hope so. If you're going to bring them up in the press conference, then give them a chance off the and kind of let them know, listen, this is what I am. I'm a professional. If I have a problem with you, I'll come to you. If you have a problem with me, why don't you come to me and we can have that relationship?
Is this good for his relation with the rest of the media as well?
I think so. From what I read and saw, he handled it in a pretty professional manner. Now, is he fluffing it up a little bit more than maybe he really believes, like, I love y'all, I appreciate y'all, we're going to spend a lot of time together, so I want to have a good relationship. I don't know if he really means that or if he's playing the PR game. I mean, we accused Robert Kraft of playing the PR game earlier. Oh, Bill Belichick will have a statue, of course. We're going to commission that. There's a PR game being played there by a lot of these guys.
Did Kraft, wait, now it only now dawns on me. Did Kraft actually feel bad for Belichick this week?
No, he saw an opportunity. He saw an opportunity. No, I think he was with me enjoying every minute of that game. Except you're right, I did start to feel bad in the second half.
There's zero chance Robert Kraft made it past the third quarter.
Yeah, he probably went to bed. And then also, Jordan had to leave early for bedtime. I saw a lot of those memes on the internet. It was the internet.
Good.
It wasn't
pretty good.
Hey, let's shoot straight. The internet had maybe its best sports night of the second half of the year thus far.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, it was low-hanging fruit.
TCU's on social media had a night.
Yeah,
and wait, hold on. Don't forget, but the reason why fruit hangs low is because it's so full of sugar. It's delicious.
Okay, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, you did.
It was an explanation of low-hanging fruit there.
Yeah.
Well, what if the branch is just weak?
Nah, it's usually
a weak branch.
It's usually oversugared.
A tweet that said, "Babe, wake up, it's UNC game day," and they quote tweeted and said, "Babe, go back to sleep."
Savage.
No, they
How about the Air Jordan banners that were hanging all over the tailgate with the bill and like
yeah.
I mean, those did not age well. No. Not a lot of it did. But as far as this goes, good on Steph Diggs at least realizing like I'm here at least a year. I am going to get paid $23 million. I probably should try to make this as smooth for myself as I can.
And I think he knows that his reputation has some baggage and that, you know, you don't want to let that baggage get past the reality of the situation.
His legacy is not on the line this year, is it?
No. I mean, what's his legacy? He's a good receiver.
No, he's at times a great receiver. He has a chance.
Oh, at times?
Yes. Yeah.
But like he's not a Hall of Famer. It's not like, oh, my God, he could be in the
not
Hall of Fame.
Not yet. But if he were, let's say he plays three more years and has one stellar, one good, one very good season.
I still don't think he's necessarily a Hall of Famer. I mean, you're competing. The best receivers of the time are Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson and those guys. Like, they're the Hall of Famers.
And his legacy of being a pain in the posterior is long since guaranteed, so this isn't going to screw anything up.
I agree. As the music tells you, that's going to do it for WEEI Afternoons today at Fenway Park.
Let's jump.
Appreciate Alex Cora for joining us in the 2 o'clock hour and being forthcoming with some information there. Unfortunately, it was bad news for Roman Anthony, the Red Sox, and Red Sox Nation. They are back at it tonight against Cleveland. It is the Mass Mutual pregame show with Christian Arcand up next. We'll be back tomorrow, as Fitzy said, 3:30. Tom Curran, we'll ask him about his relationship with Stephon Diggs. We'll talk Red Sox. We'll talk Patriots. It's game week. There is an official football game tomorrow night and on Sunday. We'll talk about it all 2 to 6 here on WEEI Afternoons tomorrow.
Kaid? That's how you say it?
Yeah. Or Kaid.
It's K-Y-E-D. Kaid.
I don't know who that is.
What in the world?
I'm Josh Scherer.
And I'm Nicole Inaidi.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich
free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.